Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Good morning and welcome. As we move right along, we enter into the portion of Achrei, or Achrei Mos, chapter 16 in Leviticus, in the book we use here, 154. And we're studying Achrei Mos, a little unusual because very often Achrei Mos and Kedoshim are combined. This year they are separate, so the portion will be a little shorter than it usually is, of course, when it's combined. And in general, Achrei is not one of the longer portions in the Torah. Now, before I begin, I must point out that the portion of Achrei, or Achrei Mos, is unique. And the reason it's unique is because it is the Torah reading of Yom Kippur. It is the Day of Atonement Torah reading. And therefore, we're going to have to pause and sell tickets. No, just kidding. Okay. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe. And God spoke to Moshe. When did God speak these words to Moshe? So here he's giving us a frame of reference. In time, Achrei Mos, after the passing, Shnei B'nei Aharon, of the two sons of Aharon, we learned earlier about a terrible tragedy. It was opening day in the tabernacle, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first day of Nisan, and everything was joyous. To quote Alan Greenspan, irrational exuberance. It was wonderful. And then two of Aaron's four sons, they bring an unauthorized offering of incense and they die. And it just changes the whole mood. Tragic, yet business as usual. We have to continue as we learned all the details in the portion of Shmini. So now we read that God spoke to Moshe following the passing of Aharon's two sons. Why did they pass? Bekarvosam lifnei Hashem, because they came close to Hashem. As we learned earlier, they brought unauthorized incense, and we talked in the beginning of Shmini various interpretations of what their issues were. There's a lot of depth there, especially in Hasidic and Kabbalistic teachings. Vayamusu, and they died. Beautiful Rashi. Rashi quotes from the oral law. Why do we need to know when this was, that this was after the death of the two sons of Aaron? Because we're going to be speaking about the sanctity of the tabernacle. We're going to be speaking about that not anyone who wishes to can approach the tabernacle anytime they wish. But they have to be licensed to approach the tabernacle. They have to be a Levi to go as far as a Levi could go. They have to be a Kohen for certain services. For certain services, you have to be a Kohen Gadol. And even then, it has to be special timing. Certain things can only be done on Yom Kippur and so on. So because we're learning these laws, the Torah tells us, look at what happened to people who didn't keep these laws meticulously. And this is the lesson in this Rashi. Ma Talmud Lomar, what is the timing information contributing here that it was after the passing? Hoya Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah Meshle Moshel. So the sage Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah used to offer a parable, an analogy, or as they used to say back in Brooklyn, a for instance. Let me give you a for instance. L'chele shenichnes etzle reifa. There was a sick man. He was in the hospital. The doctor came to visit him. He was doing his rounds. Omar Lay, so the doctor says to him, Al-Teichel Tseinon, listen, my friend, I don't want you to eat anything cold. V'al-Tishka Batachav, I don't want you to lay around in moist and damp places. Stay warm. Take care of yourself. Don't get a chill. So the guy said, okay. And then he ordered ice cream. Why not? Omar Lay, Bo'achar, another patient comes. The Omar Lay, and he says to him, or as they said when I was a kid, he goes to the other patient across the hall, and he says, listen, I don't want you eating anything cold. I don't want you lying in damp places. I don't want you to die. I had a patient down the hall, and he didn't listen to me, and he died. The guy says, really? He says, absolutely. So he says, which patient do you think was moved more? The patient, when the doctor told him, I just lost one down the hall because he didn't listen? There's a yesim in Arishan. The second one was moved a lot more than the first. You should respect the sanctity of the tabernacle. You shouldn't die like the others died. So when you give a real live example of what happens when you don't follow the instructions, then you get attention. And that is the lesson that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah taught as to why the Torah is telling us when this happened. Otherwise, we don't always get markers, chronological markers, as to when something happened. To Vayomer Hashem El Moshe. So God says to Moshe, Daber, I want you to speak El Aharon Achicha, to Aaron, your brother, and tell him he has to follow the rules. As the saying goes, when all else fails, follow the instructions. V'al Yovei B'chol Eis El HaKodesh. He shouldn't just randomly approach the sacred. Mi Beis LaParoches, behind the veil, there was a separation between the holy and the holy of holies. There was a veil separating. You can't just walk into the holies, to the holy of holies, anytime you want to. El Pnei HaKaporos, before the ark covering, Asher al Aoron, which is sitting on the ark, we had the beautiful ark covering with the cherubim, with the cherubim. You can't just walk in there, can't give tours and say, and this is the cherubim. You know, it doesn't work that way. Asher al Aoron v'lo yomu, so that people not die. You can't cross the line. It's like the third rail as we talk. Ki be'onon, because only in a cloud, eiroe, will I appear, ala kapedus, on the ark covering. And Rashi will talk about what kind of cloud we're talking about. Rashi, v'yomer Hashem al Moshe daber al Aaron achicha b'al yobei. God said to Moshe, speak to Aaron, your brother. He shouldn't randomly approach the Holy of Holies. Shele yomus, that he not die, kederech shemei subonav, like his sons, Nodav and Abihu died. Vile yomus sheimbo, tell him clearly, if he randomly approaches the Holy of Holies, whom mace, he will die. There was very great sanctity emanating from the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies. You have to follow the rules. Ki be'onon eiroe, because in a cloud will I appear. Ki tomi dani nirasham, I always appear there. I'm always visible there. Im amud ononi, with the pillar of my cloud. Lefisha gilish chinosi sham, because the revelation of my presence is there. God reveals himself to the Jewish people through the tabernacle. Where in the tabernacle? From the Holy of Holies. Yizoher, therefore he should be careful. Shalayar Gilova, he shouldn't randomly approach. He shouldn't habitually come there. Zehu Pshutei, this is the simple meaning. So the cloud refers to God's presence, the pillar of cloud, hovering over the tabernacle. And God's presence, God speaks from over the Kruvim, as we learn. That's one interpretation. Umedroshe, the other interpretation, Lo Yovei, the only time Aaron can approach, Ki Imbanan Akteris, when he causes the pillar of cloud from the incense. B'yom HaKippurim, on the Day of Atonement, when Aaron entered into the Holy and Holy of Holies and did the service, as we will learn, this is the section of Yom Kippur. So that's when he can approach. Fascinating teaching in the oral law here. Actually, it's the next verse. Okay, verse 3. Bezos, however, with this, Yovo Aaron el HaKodesh, Aaron may approach the Holy when he brings the offerings of Yom Kippur. Befar ben Boker, with a young bull, Lechatos, as a sin offering, V'ayul Liolo, and a ram offering as a burnt offering. And he goes on to enumerate the entire service of the Holy of Holies, Yom Kippur. Rashi Bezos, says Rashi, in this fascinating teaching, which is repeated in many commentaries, including the Baal HaTurim, that the word bezos has the numerical value of gematria shalei, the numerical value of this word, arba meis ve'eser, is 410. And that is the duration of the first Holy Temple. The first Holy Temple stood for 410 years. Remes, this is an illusion. They're still in the desert. There is a tabernacle happening. Here they're already talking about the fact that after 410 years, the first Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed. Remes lebayis rishon, this is an illusion, a hint to the longevity, the length of the first Beis Hamikdash. Bezos yovayar and v'apzeis, and even when the day comes, even when he has rather the offerings, the prescribed offerings, le'becholes, he can't randomly come at any time. Kim b'yom ha'kippurim, it has to be the holy day of the day of Yom Kippur. And Rashi is pointing this out because in the beginning of the portion, he doesn't identify this as Yom Kippur. It seems that if Aaron brings these sacrifices, he can come, even if it's just Cinco de Mayo. Doesn't work that way. Only Yom Kippur, K'meshim Mefedesh B'Seif HaParsha, as he identifies this at the end of the portion, B'Chodesh Hashvi, in the seventh month, which is Tishrei, B'Oso L'Chodesh, on the tenth day of the month. Verse 4. When he does that, now we know that the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, had a beautiful regal regalia. He had the garments of the Kohen Gadol with the breastplate and the apron, and he looked like a king. It was gorgeous. The Shmone Begodim, the eight garments. But when he approaches the Holy of Holy, he doesn't wear his eight garments. He looks like a regular Kohen. What garments did the regular Kohen wear? He looked like a tennis player. He wore a plain white shirt and white Bermuda shorts and a hat and a belt, and that's what the Kohen wore. Four garments, and they were all white. Ksones bad kodesh, a tunic made of linen, and linen pants should be upon his flesh. He should gird himself with a belt of linen, and with a linen hat. And these are the four garments: shirt, pants, hat, belt, and fartik, and a tennis racket. Big day, these are the sacred garments. And he should first immerse his flesh in water. The Kohen Gadol, like every Kohen, before he approached the Holy, had to immerse in a mikveh. I remember visiting Jerusalem with my father, a blessed memory, and him pointing out the houses around the wall area, around the western wall area. We saw some of the ruins of the houses. And he said, look, that's a mikveh, that's a mikveh, that's a mikveh. Presumably the Kohanim lived there and every house had a mikveh. Before you went into the Beis HaMikdash, you immersed in the mikveh. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur immersed in a mikveh, as we will learn, five different times, commemorating Cinco de Mayo, as we will learn. Okay. So that's Verochatz Bamayim Espesore. He shall bathe his flesh in water, Ulevesham, and then he puts on these white garments. Rashi Ksenes Bad. Magidus teaches us, Shein HaMishamash Lifnim, that the Kohen Gadol does not officiate in the Holy of Holies, Bishmein HaBogodim, wearing his regalia of eight garments. Shumishamish Bohen Bachutz, these garments that he officiates when he's outside the Holy of Holies. Why? The simple answer is, says Rashi, Sheyesh Bohem Zoh, because these garments have a lot of gold in them. Gold reminds us of a terrible sin, which Aharon had a very integral part in, and that is the golden calf. The cardinal sin of the Jewish people was the sin of the golden calf. And Aharon, trying to buy time, had a great part in the golden calf. And the golden calf, interestingly enough, was made out of gold. What color was George Washington's white horse? The golden calf was golden. So you don't want to use gold to atone for the golden calf. Why? So he brings down an interesting principle in Jewish law. Never hire the prosecutor to be your defense attorney. Gold is the prosecution here. You don't want the gold, the prosecution, to become your defense. You'd rather come with the pure lily-white garments. Ela ba'arba, he should wear the four garments, kikei and hedjit, like an ordinary kohen. Kulan shabutz, and they should all be made of linen. That shows humility. So this was Aaron's outfit as he approached the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. Kadesh Yilbosh, he should put on these garments which are holy. So here Rashi says, Sheyiyah Mishal Hegdesh, they have to belong to the community. They have to be purchased with temple funds. He can't even buy his own private expensive linen garments. They have to be communal garments. Yitznaif Kitagume Yaches Bereshe, Yaniach Bereshe, he shall place on his head. Good morning, Kameh Batanach Bigdei Bachitze. Okay. Rochatz b'mayim, here Rashi tells us, that day, which day is that? Yom Kippur, to'un tvila, the high priest required immersion in a mikveh, b'chol chalifesav, every time he changed garments, because many of the services were performed in the gold garments, and many in the white garments. Every time he changed, he had to immerse in a mikveh. V'chomesh pomim ha'yamachli, five times he changed, may avedas pnim, from the service of the inner chamber, lavedas chutz, to the service of the outer, omi chutz lepnim, and back and forth, omi shana, he would change me big day zav, from the golden garments, le big day loven, to white garments, me big day loven, from white garments, le big day zav, to golden garments, obachol chalifa, every changing, to and tefillah, he had to immerse in a mikveh, ushnei kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, he had to sanctify his hands and feet, minakir, from the laver. It was not a simple process. So the Kohen Gadol was changing and changing and immersing and immersing. The Baal HaTurim points out that after the festival, he would have to put away the garments, bury the garments, and they would not be used again. Verse 5. Now the next step is Umeyes b'nei Yisrael, Umeyes hadas b'nei Yisrael, from the community of Israel, Yikach, he would take, the community would provide him with Shnei Si'irei Izim Lechatos, two male goats as sin offerings. And there's a lot of interesting interpretation as to why is the goat the choice animal of the sin offering. I actually talked about this not long ago. That's because there's an expression, stubborn like a goat. Because the goat is stubborn. The goat represents sin. A sheep is very docile. A sheep is a very cooperative animal, very communal, very a follower. The goat says, leave me alone, I'll do what I want to. So the goat is the symbol of the sin offering. The ayil echod and one ram, la'ola, to be used as a burnt offering. Verse 6, Vehikriv Aaron, and Aaron shall present, bring near, as parachat, as the bull of sin offering, Asher Loi, which was to him, Vechiper Ba'ado Uva'ad Boise. The first step of atonement would be Aaron making atonement for himself and for his immediate family. Before he would make atonement for everybody else, he would have to make private atonement. 6, as parachatas asher loy ha'omer l'maylo, said above in the Met Chakan, and he teaches you here, shemisholehu bo, that this one came from him, v'lei mishol tzibur, not from the community. V'chipa ba'adei ba'ad beisei, misvada ola ba'veinesav, he would verbally state his sins, confess his sins, ba'veines beisei, and the sins of his household. There were two goats, as we'll learn in verse 8, and there was a lottery used. On one goat he placed the word Lashem, and that was the goat that was offered as the sin offering to Hashem. And on the other goat he placed the word Lazozel, which was the name of a faraway mountain where a messenger was sent, and the goat was pushed off the mountain, representing the sins of the Jewish people. And this was done by lottery, which is the commonality of Yom Kippurim. Purim is the day of lots. Hipil Pur Hu Hagoro. Haman cast lots. And Yom Kippur is the day of lots. And the Baal HaTurim here points out, among other things, that the word Azazel is used three times in this portion, corresponding to the various levels of forgiveness mentioned within the 13 attributes of mercy. Nosei Ovon, Pesha, Chato. So we have the various mention of the word Azazel in merit of the three patriarchs. So the number three plays a role here. Okay, back now to the verse we're up to. Verse 8, I believe. Belokach. I'm sorry, verse 7. Did we do 7? Belokach 7. Eshnei asirim. He shall take the two goats. Behemidesim. And he should place them, lifnei Hashem, before Hashem. Pesach oil meir at the gateway of the Mishkan of the tabernacle. Venosan Aaron. And Aaron will place al shnei asirim on the two goats. Geiroles, lots. Geirolechad. One lot says Lashem. The Geirolechad. And the other lot says La'azazel. To Azazel. Rashi, Venosan Aaron, Ashne Asirim Geroles, Mami Dechalayamin, places one on the right, Vechalas Mela, one on the left, Venation Shne other Bekalpi, and he puts two hands in an urn, Venatla Gerobimin, he takes a lot in his right hand, Vechaveda Bismal, and the other in his left hand, Venation Aleim, and he places it on the goat, Eshekosa Be Lashem, the one that says to God, Hu Lashem is the offering brought to Hashem, Eshekosa Be Lazozel, and the lot placed on the goat, which says, Lazozel, Mishtaleach Lazozel, is sent to the Azazel. Azazel hu Az, Har Az Rekosha. What is this Azazel? It's a mountain that's strong and a high peak. Tzukavaya Shenemar Eretz Gzeira, a land which is cut off, Chatucha, and it didn't have much greenery. And the Azazel represented non-productivity, representing sin. And that was the goat of the Azazel. And he's going to now give all the details. Verse 9, V'hikriv Aaron es asoyer asher olav hageiro l'Hashem. And Aaron would offer the goat upon whom the lot fell, which said to God, V'yosohu, he would designate that as a chatos, as the Yom Kippur sin offering. 9, V'yosohu chatos kishamaniach hageiro l'olav, when he placed a lot upon him, keder l'shemi, gave it a name, Vaimer, and he said, Lashem Chatos. This is a sin offering dedicated to Hashem. 10, Vihasoyer, and the goat, Asher Ola Olav Hagerol, upon which the lot fell, which said, La Azazel, this is the goat for the Azazel to be pushed off the peak. Yom Adchai shall be set to remain alive, Lifnei Hashem. It's not offered, slaughtered. What's going to happen to it? L'chaper olav, to make atonement. L'shalachayse, to send him. La'azazel, to this mountain called Azazel. Where is it? Hamidbora, in the wilderness. Rashi, Yom Adchai, 10, K'meyu Amodchai, should remain alive. Ayideh Echedem, others should make sure that it continues to live. Etaguma Yitokim Katchai. Matam, Alim, B'shinam, L'shalachayse, L'azazel. Because it says to send it to Azazel. I'm not sure if he sends it for life or death. It remains living until it's sent. Mikan, from here we learn, ultimately its purpose of sending is lemisa, that it dies as it's cast off the mountain. He shall confess. He shall confess upon it. Just to point out several teachings, which are beautiful teachings. The first is a teaching from the previous Rebbe, which actually is a teaching in one of the daily teachings of the Hayom Yom on this portion. Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok Schneerson pointed out something very beautiful. We all have to try and live with it. He says, the one goat represents righteousness. That's the goat that's offered to God. The other goat represents sin, evil, negativity, wickedness. That's the goat that's sent far away to the mountain called Azazel. Where is it? As we just learned, in the desert, Amidbora. Said the previous Rebbe, we all have good and not good within us.
That's just a fact.
Some of us like to think that we're all good.
No, it's not so simple.
We all, human beings, have good and not so good.
That's okay. That's why we're in therapy. It's not a problem.
However, make sure that you identify the good and maximize it and use it in the service of Hashem. Make sure you identify what's not good and send it far, far away. Far away from people. Far away into a desert. Find this mountain and push it off the mountain. That's how you deal with the evil. Don't sit there and feed the evil and say, hey, I am what I am. Take me or leave me. And then you abuse your environment. It doesn't work that way. The Azazel has to be sent far away into a desert and pushed off a peak. It's a beautiful teaching, again, from the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe. A second teaching which I like to share, which I actually heard, I believe, from my cousin. He's a very prominent rabbi in Johannesburg, in the Sydenham Shul, Rabbi Yossi Goldman, who says, as you look into the halacha, you find a fascinating teaching. The halacha says that these two goats have to be identical. The goat that you offer to God has to be as gorgeous as the goat you send to the Azazel. The goat you send to the Azazel has to be as beautiful as the goat that you send to God. And in halacha, it talks about the fact that they search for almost twin-looking goats. So the question is, we understand why the goat that's offered to God has to be gorgeous, has to be, to quote Alfredo, very expensive. But the goat that's sent to the Azazel, why does it have to be so gorgeous? What's wrong, to quote Jackie Mason, if it's tablujet and sahargit? What's so terrible? Would it spoil some vast eternal plan? It's going to be pushed off the Azazel anyway. So he said, that's not the lesson here. The lesson is we all know how we treat the Azazel within us. We treat him well. When it comes to our selfish needs, we want upgrades, and we want first class, and we want bigger and better and nicer, and azoints and azoints. When it comes to God, you say, like my father of blessed memory used to say when he was asked, what kind of esrog should I use? A cheap one or an expensive one? What kind of tefillin should I buy? A cheap one or expensive? My father would say, depends what kind of car you drive. If you drive a VW Bug, Yugo, you need a cheap esrog and a cheap pair of tefillin. If you drive a Mercedes or a Cadillac, you need the top-of-the-line tefillin, the top-of-the-line esrog. The goat that you offer to God has to be as beautiful and as perfect as the goat of the Azazel in your life. They have to be twins, because the godliness has to be dealt with in as meticulous a manner as the animal stuff. And that's another, good morning, beautiful lesson in the Azazel section. Okay, verse 11. Am I right? 11? V'hikrib Aaron, and Aaron shall offer as parachatos, the sin offering, this bull, asher lei, which was his, v'chiper ba'ado, and he'll make atonement now, ovad beise, for him and for his household, v'shochat as parachatos asher lei, and he slaughters this bull of sin offering. 11, Chiper Ba'adai Vidusheni, a second confession. Olav Alecha Vakena, for him and his brother Kohanim. Shehem Kulam Kruyim, basically all Kohanim are called the household of Aaron. In the times of Aaron, there were limited Kohanim. There were Aaron and his sons, but later there were many Kohanim. Shenema Beis Aaron, Borchu Es Hashem. House of Aaron, bless Hashem. Mikan Shah Kohanim, Miskaprim Bei, that all of the Kohanim received atonement through it. V'chop kaparoson eino ela al tumas mikdash v'kadoshev. Says Rashi, something very important. Lest you think that this is atonement for all people's sins, if people did this or that or the other, or what chmeis was. No. The atonement here is all about in the service of Hashem. Did the Kohen come in a state of impurity? Was an accident done? Did he inadvertently
do something inappropriate. Commission Emar, v'chiper al hakodesh mitumos, he makes atonement in the holy from the impurity. That's the focus here. Verse 12, then, once he does that, v'lokach mele amacht, he takes a censer full, gachle yesh of coals of fire, me'alam izbeach, from off the altar, milifnei Hashem, before Hashem. So he has like a little shovel with fiery coals in it. And then he takes hands full, k'teda samim daka, very fine incense, behavior, and he brings it, mibes laparechas, inside the veil area, something that's not usually done. So he's got a pan of fire and coals, he's got this incense, and he brings it inside the veil area. Rashi me'alam izbeach achitz, in the outer altar, milifnei Hashem, itzad shelifnei ha-pesach, from the side which faces the entrance, mitzad marabi, the western side. Daka, ma'tamad le'med daka, what does it mean daka? V'alei kol ha-ketedes daka, he isn't all incense fine. Shenema v'shachakta mimenu hodek, when you prepare the incense, it says, prepare it fine. Ela shetei daka min ha-daka, it has to be super fine, extra fine. As it says, that on Erev Yom Kippur, the day before Yom Kippur, they put the incense through a second round of grinding to make it extra fine. What did he do with it? V'nosan es haktoras, he took the incense which was in his hand, and he put it, alo esh, on the fire lifnei Hashem, before Hashem. So now a pillar of smoke would ascend. Es hakaperas, covering the ark cover. Asher alo edus, which is upon the tablets. That's the service of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. He takes the incense and causes it to smoke, and a pillar of smoke rises. V'lo yomus, so that he not die. It has to be done precisely correct. Rashi alo esh shebetech hamachta. Where is this flame? In the censer. If he didn't do it properly, then chayav misa, he is guilty of death. Everything had to be precision. One wrong move and it's over. It's like you're working in a nuclear reactor. It's got to be just right. Verse 14, v'lokach midam ha-pori, now takes from the blood of this bull sacrifice, v'hizo, and he sprinkles. Remember, we talked many times that the service of the Kohen in the tabernacle, in the holy temple, is not about slaughtering the animal. Anybody could slaughter the animal. It's about sprinkling the blood and about causing various parts to smoke on the altar, the fat. And that is because the symbolism of sacrifice is blood represents passion, our passions, and fat represents pleasures. Our passions and our pleasures must be godly. And that's the idea of sprinkling the blood. That represents the passion of the human being. We have to make sure that our passions are in check. They're not out of control. If they are, you have to use steroids. No, just kidding. That was a bad joke. Okay. Sometimes I crack myself up. Belokach midam apor, he takes from the blood of this bull, v'hizo betzboy, and sprinkles with his finger al pnei akapedas, on the ark cover, kedmo, towards the east. V'lifnei akapedas, and before the ark cover, yaze, he should sprinkle, how many times? Sheva po'omim, 7 times, min adom, of the blood betzboy, with his finger. V'hizo betzboy, this seems to connotate one sprinkling. Behizo is singular. Hazo achas b'mishma. Sounds like one. V'lifnei akapedes, and before the ark cover, yazeh sheva, we have 7. So here there's 1 sprinkling mentioned and 7 sprinklings mentioned. Which is right? The answer is they're both right. Hare achas l'mayla, 1 above the line or higher, v'sheva l'mata, and 7 below, lower. And that's the expression in the holiday service. Achas, Lamailo, Visheva, Lamato, and so on. Now there's a very beautiful Balaturim on verse 14. Some tidbits of the Balaturim here. Why should we sprinkle one sprinkling of blood going up and 7 going down. So he says, because it is sufficient for the world below to have 1/7 of what is above. So if you have one sprinkling above, you need 7 below, because all 7 only equal 1. And we find this. It's interesting in the Hallelujah prayer, where King David is praising Hashem. It says, Hallelujah Hashem min hashamayim. Praise God from heaven. Hallelujah bamromim. Praise him in the heights. Hallelujah kol tzvav. His hosts, Shemesh, Yoreach, and so on and so forth. Various expression of praising Hashem, of the heavenly abode. How many times does he praise Hashem, referring to heavenly items? 7. And then he says one time, Hallelujah Hashem in the Oretz. Praise God from the earth. So you have 7 in heaven, 1 on earth. So also Moshe, when Moshe says, Hazinu Hashomayim Vadabero, V'sishma ha'oretz imrefi, give ear, O heaven, and I speak, let the earth hear the words of my mouth. How long does it take until he mentions Hashem's name? He says he has 21 letters, 21 words go through until he says, Kishem Hashem Ekri, you count the words, 21 words. Why does he let 21 words pass? Because in the verse of the angels, it says, Kadosh, 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 Hashem. It's 3 words pass, and then he says Hashem. Kadosh, 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 Hashem. So, 21 divided by 3 is 7. Moshe says, if the angels let 3 words pass, humanity has to let 7 words pass. And the Baal HaTurim brings down various other teachings. I'm going to skip some of them. Another teaching here is that we learned that the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, immerses 5 times on Yom Kippur, corresponding to the 5 prayers we have on Yom Kippur. We have Arvis, Ma'ariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, Ne'ilah. On Yom Kippur, you have 5 prayers. Also, corresponding to how many times it says Melech HaKovod in the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur chapter of Tillim, the David Mizmor. Melech HaKovod. I hear less in the background. And it comes to make atonement for the soul, which has 5 names. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. That's the 5. Anyway, he has a whole bunch of teachings here just to give you a little taste of some of these beautiful number symbols. Okay. Verse, I guess we're on 16, is that right? 16. V'chiper al HaKodesh, and he'll make atonement on the holy. 15. V'shochat esirachat ha-shalom, and he will slaughter the goat offering which belonged to the people. V'hevi as domai, and bring its blood, el mibeis laparochas. Within the veil, we also as Dami does to its blood, Kasher also the Dama part as he did to the blood of the bull. He's Isa and sprinkles it, Allah Kapetus on the ark cover, Lufna Kapetus, and before the ark cover. Asher Laom, Rashi, Mashapar, Mechapar al Kohenim. Whatever the bull does for the Kohen, Mechapar al Soyer, the goat does al Yisrael for the Jewish people. Vu Asoyer, Sholo of Hagedol Hashem, and that's, which goat is this? The goat of sin offering, where the lot that said Hashem fell upon its head. This is not the Azazel goat. The Azazel goat is waiting outside to be transported by beacons moving in storage to Azazel. Kasher osel ledam bapor achas lemaila. One sprinkling up, v'sheva lamata, and 7 down. 16, v'chiper al HaKodesh, and he makes atonement for the holy. Mitumais of any state of impurity, b'nei Yisrael, of the children of Israel, omi pishayhem, and of their transgressions, the chol chateisim, general transgressions, all their transgressions. V'chein yaseh lo el moed, he does also for the transgressions of the tabernacle. Hasheichen itam, because Hashem dwells with the Jewish people, even b'seich tumaisim, even when the Jewish people are in a state of impurity, so they need the atonement. That's a famous expression, Hasheichen itam besech tumaisim, that even when the Jewish people become impure, Hashem is still within them. Mitumais b'nei Yisrael, anechlasim l'migdish b'tumah, for those who enter into the holy in a state of impurity, and they didn't know until later. This is inadvertent. Even those who did know, just as he sprinkled up both of them within, he does the same thing on the veil outside. Even though the Jewish people find themselves in a state of impurity, the divine presence is always within them. Closing verse of today's portion, no man may be in the tabernacle when the high priest comes to make atonement in the holy place, until he goes out. He's got to be there by himself. This was actually a very special moment for the Kohen Gadol as well. We know that the Kohen Gadol had to be in a state of spiritual purity. If the Kohen Gadol was not God-fearing, he would not come out. He would die. And we're told that later, during the time of the second Holy Temple, where the high priesthood became corrupt, and the kings would sell it to the highest bidder. Anybody want to become a high priest? So the Kohen Gadol, he would just get high on the power, but he would not make it out on Yom Kippur. He would die on Yom Kippur. And the problem is, who's going to go get the body? Because no one's allowed to walk in. So they would ultimately tie a rope around him, and they would, you know, okay, bring him out. He's been there too long. So, you know, this is the sanctity, the holiness of that moment in general. The Yom Kippur experience of the Kohen Gadol entering into the Holy of Holies, offering incense. The teaching, the known teaching is that we have within creation, we have people, person, we have place, and we have time. This was a fusion of all three. Who was the holiest person? The Kohen Gadol. At least he was supposed to be. What was the holiest place on earth? Jerusalem, the Holy Temple, the Holy of Holies. The holiest time of the year? Yom Kippur. So we have this fusion of person, place, and time all come together, and this is that one holy experience, and that's the subject matter of this Torah portion. V'chiper ba'ado, he makes atonement for himself, v'ad beise, for his household, v'ad kol kahal Yisrael, and he makes atonement for the entire Jewish people. End of today's Chumash portion.